This is the blueprint for how to work smarter, scale faster, and build better. My name is Clay Craby, and I am joined with Joe Sandeen, founder, president, CEO. What is your title over at OnSharp? I don't even know.
A little bit of everything at this
main,
point.
Main guy in charge of things.
I guess.
So we have been talking, it's been an episode in between, but we've been talking about EOS, the Entrepreneurial Operating System.
Yep.
And we're going to wrap up that conversation. For those that may have missed, though no one misses any of our episodes, but if...
Of course not.
If, you know, there was a death in the family and they missed the last episode, can you just give us a recap? What is EOS and why does it matter?
Yeah, so EOS is a system and a process for running a business to give you, you know, clarity and traction and alignment in your company. So many businesses, I think, without a system, whether you use EOS or anything else, you know, they just kind of run day to day, you know, on a whim, and that's not a great way to run a business. I think you need a system in place and to make sure everyone's in alignment, rowing in the same direction. And so Gino Wickman, who created EOS, almost about 20, 25 years ago, took an opportunity to really look at all the great businesses out there, you know, kind of that top 5%. And he studied, you know, what made these businesses great, what did they really master, and he kind of broke that down into six components and created the EOS model.
So we've broken up those components. We did three last time. We can recap those real quick. We talked about vision, people, and data. So yep. When they're talking about the vision component, what is that about?
Yeah, it's really just making sure everyone's rowing in the right direction. So what's your purpose and your passion in the company? What are your core values? What's your big, hairy, audacious goal that you're going after? What's 10 years down the road look like? What's the finish line you're trying to get to? What's your marketing strategy? 3-year picture, 1-year plan, all very, you know, vision oriented items, not necessarily tactically yet because they're aspirational goals, but just making sure everyone is in alignment. Who are we? Why do we exist? And what are we trying to achieve? Again, you know, it really forces you to think long term and not just, you know, be in the moment, and you really, you know, create alignment around what's the purpose of this business? You know, what outcome are we trying to get to? And with good vision and good alignment, it becomes much easier when, you know, rubber hits the road and you start working on stuff together.
Yeah, so it's kind of the why behind your business.
Right.
Yeah. So that one obviously involves people, but there's also the people element. What is the people component?
Yeah, so people's a big, you know, big piece of every business, obviously. You got to manage your team properly to make sure everyone's rowing in the right direction. So it's all about the what we call the accountability chart, similar to an org chart. And what we say there is, start with the seats or the start with the org chart itself first and then put the people into it. I think sometimes we can make the mistake of making excuses for putting people in certain seats in an organization or maybe even having seats that really don't belong in the organization. So if you really want to do it the right way, you know, sit down with a blank sheet of paper, work with your leadership team, and really just look at your business and say, what does the accountability chart need to look like? What seats do we need in this business? What are the 5 main roles and responsibilities of each one of those seats? And then start putting who is the best person that gets it, wants it, and has the capacity to serve this seat. And that should really drive the people side of the business. And then, you know, you're going to have to make some tough decisions. Maybe, you know, certain people don't have a seat or aren't the right fit. And so it really forces you to make some of those tough people decisions that, I mean, you need to make as a business. So,
yeah. So we've got the vision component. We've got the people component. Last time we also talked about the data component. What are we talking about there?
Yeah, so data's key. I mean, if you're not looking at the right data components, you're kind of flying blind in your business. So we talked about scorecard. Obviously, the scorecard is 7 to 15 metrics that really drive the business. And when you look at your organization, you're going to have a scorecard at your leadership level. And then you're going to also have scorecards as you move down into the different departments. So it really helps, you know, create accountability. You know, if you know what metrics the business needs to be hitting week over week, you can't really hide from the data. You can't really sugarcoat the fact that, you know, we're not hitting this or that, you know, number of leads or productivity numbers or our cash flow, you know, all those different things. So it really helps bubble up what's truly not working in the business to the surface so that you can talk about those issues and solve them.
Yeah, so you want to operate on facts, not just gut, not just feeling, a sense
right.
of how things are going.
Exactly. And the key with the scorecard is trying to find predictive numbers. You know, we talk about how you know, your P&L and some of your other things in your business, those are like after the fact numbers. You can't really do much to change it once it's over. So you need to be looking at more leading indicators, because then you can actually hop in and do something about it.
Yeah. So EOS as a whole is a system, six main components. Last time we talked about vision, people, data. This time we're talking about issues, process, and traction. We're going to get into those individually kind of in each segment as we go along mm-hmm. here. But how are these connected? How are issues, process, traction, how are these three components connected to the previous three?
Well, really, they all work together. So you can't, you know, you need to work on every single component, but you can't really run a successful business without mastering all six together. So if you get the first three right, that's a good starting point, but then you gotta kind of complete the picture. So if you leave one component out or you're weak in a component, it's going to show in the business, and you're going to have to solve those issues. So again, it's looking holistically at every business and what are all the major pieces that you have to be able to master to truly run a great company.
Yeah. And, you know, not every business runs on EOS. Not everybody's read that little orange book you've got over there. If someone is, you know, entrepreneurial, if they have a small business, it maybe they're in leadership in a business, why is the elements, the components that we're talking about, how is this applicable more broadly just to really anyone?
Well, I think they, again, you know, when Gino went through this process, he took a fair analysis of, you know, all the different things you have to be able to master in a business. And so, again, whether you're running EOS or some other system, I believe all six of these components exist really in every system. It's just what you call them. But you just have to be able to master them all. You know, again, you can't, you know, if you do five of them, but you're not great at vision, well, then you're not going to all be rowing in the same direction. So you're probably not going to get to where you're trying to get to or even understand where you're going. And then how are you going to motivate your employees, you know, to follow your vision and where you're trying to go? If you're bad at the people side, you know, you might have a great product, you might have a good vision, but if you don't have the right people in the right seats, everything kind of breaks down, falls apart. So again, I think broadly speaking, you know, even to, you know, cross this into people's personal lives, you can almost look at just life in general and say a lot of these components just kind of apply to, you know, just being successful in life as well. So,
yeah. And I mean, that's the connection right there. You're going to have these elements in your business. You're going to have to deal with issues. You're going to have to deal with the data that's coming in. You're going to have a vision, all these things. So when we say EOS, it's an operating system. Obviously, on Sharp, we do a lot of software development. We're in the kind of the tech space. Can you just make that connection in people's minds for what an operating system is and how that applies to your business?
Yeah, so just like a computer, the operating system kind of gives you a way to navigate and achieve things and accomplish what you're trying to do. And so, again, EOS. What I love about the book Traction that Gino wrote is it is very tactical. Like, it's not just all theory, and then you have to figure out, okay, how am I going to apply this? Like, he talks about the theory, but then he takes it directly into, okay, here's the tools. Here's the actual practical implementation. Here's what your meeting structures should look like. Here's how to build the scorecard. Here's how to figure out if someone GWCs a seat in your organization. Like, everything is very tactical. It's very, you know, from an operating system perspective, it is fully baked out. It has been ran through tens of thousands of businesses over the course of 20 plus years. And so it really is a proven blueprint for how to run a business.
Yeah, and that's why we're even talking about this, is these are issues that every business has. This is a framework that we have found works really well and would recommend to other companies to implement as well. But this is a framework that takes kind of the chaos out of it, gives you clarity, gives you action steps, gives you a process. So we're going to continue looking at that EOS process and those other three components. On the other side of the break, we're going to talk about how to deal with issues, what the process is for your day-to-day business, and how to gain traction. We'll be right back with the Business Blueprint. Welcome back. We're walking through the components of EOS. That's the Entrepreneurial Operating System. And as we talked before, that's just a framework for running your business that we think that'll help you run your business well. And we're going to discuss how EOS helps businesses identify, prioritize, and solve issues permanently through structure and teamwork. You don't have the same stuff recurring and coming up again and again. So first, some definitions, Joe. What do they mean by issues?
Yeah, so I always like to clarify, issue doesn't have to mean a problem per se. Issue is just any topic that needs to be discussed. It could be a true issue, could be an idea, could be really anything. But it gives you a a place in your weekly meeting to control the conversation. So I think a lot of businesses experience that common disease, let's call it, of you have these meetings and there's no structure to them and everyone just starts throwing out random stuff and it's almost like the squeaky wheel gets the grease. And so the issues component of what we're going to talk about later, the meeting pulse when we talk about traction, is just a way to kind of like structure conversation. So if there's a topic that needs to be discussed in a meeting, it kind of gives you a framework and a structure for identifying what it is, having good discussion, and then bringing it to resolution. But again, it's a lot of times I just like to clarify when I meet with people, okay, these don't have to be issues or problems. These can simply even be, hey, I want to give an update on how we're doing on the marketing plan this year, or hey, I've got an idea for how we can increase our sales. Like, issues are simply topics or discussion points.
Yeah. So, I mean, you gave a couple there, but what are some things that would float to the level of an issue? It's not on the to-do list. I mean, at what point is something an issue?
Yeah, so some good examples would be, so when you review your scorecard, maybe a scorecard metric is off, so you would bring that down to the issues list to discuss when you get there. Maybe someone's rock, one of their big goals for the quarter is off track, and so that's something that needs to be discussed. Maybe there's a problem in the business. Maybe we had a really bad experience, a customer experience that we provided. We need to talk about that. Again, really anything in the business. It all just depends on which department you're talking about it in. Again, this meeting pulse that we're going to talk about later happens at leadership level. It also happens at every department. So it might happen in the marketing department, the HR department, all across the company. So the scope of the issues in the issues list are just going to depend on which meeting you're in within the organization as far as like how granular it is versus how high level the issue might be.
Yeah. So, from my seat, from a marketing perspective, I'm looking at the numbers. Maybe 1 week traffic to the website's down. Probably not an issue yet. 3 weeks or a pattern of website traffic falling. Now that might be an issue that gets discussed.
Yeah, and it leaves room for you and the team to decide, okay, how big of an issue is this? When you actually get to the issues agenda item in the meeting, in a typical leadership level 10 meeting, there's about 45 minutes for issue discussion. So one of the first things we do is we just simply make sure the issues list has everything that needs to be on it. And then we just start prioritizing. Obviously, you can't. It's very unrealistic to solve every issue or everything on the list in a single meeting. And so what we go through is just a very simple prioritization. We pick the top three issues that need to be discussed. We work through those. And then if we still have more time left, then we'll do another reprioritization of a few more. And that kind of gets us to where we need to go.
Yeah. And solving those or addressing those doesn't necessarily mean they're solved or fixed. It might, we need to, look into this. We need to have this conversation, we have these to-do items. There's different things that might come out of an issue discussion.
Yeah, and the key is, what's the next right thing to do? Just to go back to the process, so we call it IDS, identify, discuss, and then solve. So the first key piece that a lot of times you can get wrong is you don't even have the right issue identified. Sometimes someone brings up an issue, but there's a deeper issue or it's not truly captured properly. So you need to spend a couple minutes at the beginning saying, okay, what's the true issue here? Let's not just talk about the symptoms. Let's get down to what's actually the thing we need to be discussing. Because then once you really get it identified properly, then you can really have good, fruitful discussion. And then somebody within the meeting, typically that's going to be the integrator or me as the visionary, has to be able to make a decision of when enough discussion is enough. And let's bring this to resolution here. We're kind of spinning in circles. And then solving the issue, just it doesn't always mean fully solving it. Again, it might just mean, okay, what's the next right thing to do? And then a lot of times we have issues where someone has some homework on the to-do list. They go out and do their homework. We come back next week and we've made some progress, but maybe then the issue continues to move forward with more discussion, but at least you're moving yourself towards complete resolution at some point.
Yeah, and we'll get into more of the particulars of how EOS recommends you address these issues. How about some bad examples? When people aren't operating from a framework, EOS or something else, when they're not doing things on purpose, what are some ways that businesses really handle issues ineffectively?
Well, I think when you don't have good vision and you don't have good planning and organization, I think you can tend to make issues out of things that really aren't issues. A lot of times people's emotions can get in the way as well. You know, someone just is really passionate about something, but to the business, is it really a big problem? So that's why, again, when we talked about earlier in the last segment, how all six of these components really have to work together, it's hard to have good issue solving if you don't have good vision and alignment and the right people in the right seats and the right data in front of you. You can end up thinking something's an issue and it really isn't. So then what you do, you waste a bunch of time talking about it or solving an issue that really isn't what you need to be solving. Or a lot of times, you know, when you've got maybe a person in the organization that's just very dominant in the conversation, you end up solving all their problems, even though they're maybe not the most important problems in the business.
Yeah, and then you always have the problem of the tyranny of the urgent. Things that are urgent seem really important, but in the grand scheme of things, they're not. And so you can spend a lot of time on things that are just urgent. They you know, are maybe coming up sooner than other things, but they're not necessarily the things you need to spend time discussing.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, you've got a mixture of like time-sensitive urgent issues that, you know, something might make the list today because it's a decision we have to make because something's due on Friday. But then you have other issues that can be just big, hairy things. It's like the big elephant in the room and, you know, everyone knows we need to talk about it. And so, it just comes down to you and your team deciding, okay, how are we going to prioritize these today? And it is common, too, if your issues list builds up too large and you're like, hey, we've got too many things on the list, you can schedule a separate issue-solving session. So sometimes in our leadership meetings, we're like, wow, we've got 20 items still on the list. Let's meet again on Thursday or Friday, and let's just spend another hour going through more issues so we can nail these down.
Right. And that might sound like, oh, more meetings, but at least you're aware. I mean, you're aware of problems that
need to get discussed. But it's a purposeful meeting.
And it's on purpose, Mm-hmm. And I don't know that the book necessarily gets in this, but it reminds me of that Dwight Eisenhower decision matrix. You got your four boxes, and up in the corner you've got it's not important, it's not urgent. Then you got urgent but not important. And you got important but not urgent, then you've got it's urgent and important. Like you have to try to figure out, okay, where do these things land in terms of what needs to be addressed here? And the issues conversation helps you do that. And you mentioned this is an actual list. Like there's a meeting tool that's part of this, and you're populating this list often ahead of time or maybe in that conversation, right?
Yeah, so a couple things happen. So in our leadership meeting, we have an ongoing list that's on the agenda, and things get added and removed from the list. It's also possible that there's an issue, but everyone recognizes, okay, this is not a current, this is something we need to kind of table. And so then we will put that on what we call the VTO issues list. So then when we have our quarterly meeting, we can maybe discuss it at that meeting if it's something that's more long-term and kind of kick the can down the road. So it gives you a kind of a holding, like an area to like make sure. My biggest fear is always like, I don't want to forget about things that we want to eventually come back to, but they're not urgent right now. So it gives you a place to kind of put those, like, table those issues that are maybe not something that we need to discuss now, but maybe it's next quarter, midway point in the year, something like that.
Yeah. And hopefully people are here. Like, this isn't groundbreaking stuff.
No.
But people, you see with the benefit of a system. Hey, what do we do with the stuff that we don't need to discuss right now, but it's really important for where we're going as a company? There's a place to pin that, and there's a process for revisiting that conversation.
Yeah, and it's a beautiful thing when everyone speaks the same language, everyone understands the process. I mean, again, we all agree on how we prioritize when we start discussing an issue. Okay, let's make sure we're talking about the actual, we've got it defined properly. We need to move to resolution. The great thing is everyone can have shared expectations of how issues are handled, even a shared expectation of you don't just walk into the meeting and start throwing issues around. Like, we're like, no, we have a very structured level 10. Again, we'll get to that when we talk about traction, but we have a very specific process and we don't talk about issues until we get to the issue section of the agenda. So again, getting everyone on the same page with how it's going to work, very, very powerful thing to create momentum.
Yeah. And just real quickly, before we move on to the next segment here, how does this impact morale and momentum?
Huge for momentum. I think one of the biggest problems in most businesses is you talk about the same darn issues over and over again, and you might be 9 months down the road, and you're like, I can't believe we're still talking about this. Like, why haven't we fixed this yet? So doing issue solving properly helps you make sure that those things don't stay on the list forever. and then it helps morale, everyone, again, understands the process. Everyone feels like they can be heard. Everyone knows, like, okay, we all have this transparency and visibility into what the issues are, how we're solving them. And so I just think there's so much value to a system that gets everyone on the same page versus everyone's got some preconceived notion in their mind of how things are working, whether that's the truth or not.
Yeah. So the issues, really key component of the EOS system. On the other side of the break, we're going to come back. We're going to talk about the process component of EOS. Welcome back. We're going to continue kind of laying out a blueprint for that businesses can follow to just really gain traction in their business and move things forward. We're going to talk about how important it is to document and follow core processes so that you're consistent, that you're efficient, and that you can scale your business. So can you define for us what process is in terms of EOS?
Yeah, so it's probably like everyone thinks of process. It's just a way of understanding what are the key things that we do in our business and how are those things to be done to create consistency. So I think we can all say from a consumer perspective, when we interact with a business, we expect a certain level of consistency, whether it's how I check out, how I shop, whatever it is, how I get support from that business. So process is what allows you to make sure that everyone's doing things the way the business wants them to be done. And I think the mistake that a lot of businesses can make when they get into defining processes, they think that they need to have a million processes, you know, right out of the gate. And so what EOS tells you is, you know, really just focus on maybe the top 5 to 7 major processes in your business. What's your HR hiring process? What's your sales process? What's your service delivery process? Like kind of attack the big ones first, and then start simple. Another thing I would say is it can be tempting to redo the process at the same time. And I always like to just say, don't change anything about what you're doing. Just document what you're doing right now, so you at least understand what you're doing. And whether it's a 9 out of 10 or a 2 out of 10, as far as how good it is, at least you know everyone's doing it that way. And then you can start making improvements and going through a process of getting your process to be in a better position if you don't like where it's at.
Yeah. And some people hear stuff like this and maybe they're kind of more loosey-goosey and they want to go with the flow.
Course.
It feels restrictive. It feels, too black and white. What are the risks of not having an actual plan for the different processes you put in place in your business?
Well, I think internally you risk having a ton of inefficiency, a ton of miscommunication, a ton of nobody, even between our team, we don't understand if we're, what's the next step or what's the right thing to do. And then when you think about your customer gets potentially a different experience every single time. And that's detrimental to your business. You want your customer to feel the safety and security of, every time I submit a support ticket with OnSharp, this is the process we go through. This is what I can expect. So, one of the biggest challenges, I think, in a business when you start implementing processes, you're going to have people that just like doing things their way, and they need to get out of that mentality. I think there can be room for, putting my own spin on something, and I think that's where you got to be able to differentiate process from procedure as well. Process is very high level. This is like the general how we do things, and then when you get into procedure, then you're talking checklists and really getting into the nitty-gritty, but everyone needs to follow the core process of the business and should not deviate from that.
Yeah, and that customer experience element I think is really important. There's no place that you go and spend money where it's different every time. You don't go back to that place more than twice. If restaurant, ordering something online, you stick with the ones you know because it's a consistent experience. And that won't happen if under the hood and behind the curtain things aren't consistent.
Well, yeah, and as a business, that's how you can differentiate yourself. That's how you can say, okay, we're the business that does it this way, and people love that. So I think one of the biggest opportunities to create differentiation in your business and to scale and to grow and to do amazing things is to come up with process that really makes you stand out, and then you're not going to stand out if people aren't actually following it.
Yeah, and again, from that you can do this internally, you can do this externally, but from the customer experience, mapping out what that process is. It doesn't matter what the business is. It doesn't matter. You do oil changes. Great. What is that entire process? Someone, either calls, makes an appointment, or they get in line, they wait, They get out of the vehicle. They go sit somewhere. They get the bill. Map out every single instance and, okay, where can we make this really easy? Where can we where can we make this, you know, a delightful experience? Where can we wow them? Where can we go the extra mile? Do that on the customer-facing side. You do that on the internal side as well. So how can you identify what – you can't do them all. What processes, if you're starting out, what do you start with?
You start with what's most important in your business. So you look at what are the key things we have to do right, and we'll start with those processes. I would always start with customer-centric things, things that involve interacting with the customer, because if you don't have customers that are happy, it's hard to have a successful business. And then understand it's going to be an evolving process. So you're going to get started with some of your most basic processes. Even when you come up with those processes, maybe it's just a list of 10 bullet points of like, these are the 10 things we need to do when we hire someone, when we onboard a new customer, whatever it is. And you can always mature them over time. So the key is to at least get a starting point. Again, it doesn't matter how fleshed out they are, how amazing they are. At least make sure you're all on the same page doing it the same way.
Yeah.
Then going back to issues, you can start to bring issues to the table to say, hey, you know what? I don't think our support process is as good as it can be. Let's talk about making that better. That's a good example of an issue that maybe it's not a big problem, but maybe you have a desire to make it better. It's a 5 out of 10. You wish it was an 8 out of 10 kind of thing.
Yeah. And, you know, having an okay plan is better than not having a plan.
Right.
You know, it's preferable to have a plan that's not quite there yet and that you're working through than it is just, hey, just take it as it comes. We'll do it different each time. And you also want to map out, too, as you think through the process, here's the ideal process, again, that a customer might go through from there in front of us to they've paid or whatever the bookends of that is, and identify and plan ahead, where could this process go wrong? You've got a restaurant. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's possible they might wait 45 minutes to get a seat. Now, what are you going to do about it? And have a sub process for that. Empower your frontline people to handle it. You know, you've got the person at the counter. They're authorized and they're allowed to just hand out this. You know, here's a coupon. Here's a free appetizer, whatever. But that's not going to happen if you don't think through it ahead of time.
Well, and a lot of that comes out of the woodwork as you run and mature the business. So, like, as issues come up, or you know, like you're a restaurant, and all of a sudden you're like, man, we're dealing with, you know, really long wait times. We never had that before. Oh, we should maybe put something together for that. And so I want to tie back to our first episode when we talked about AI. How do you implement AI if you don't even have good process in the first place? So before you get all excited about, oh my gosh, we got to jump into this AI thing, you know what? Just again, document what your business is doing now. Then once you have that blueprint laid out, you can now start looking at it and say, okay, how could we inject, how can we make this process better by adding technology to it, adding things to take work off people's plates, making the customer experience better? I think that really ties in nicely when you think about how people are trying to get AI, you know, worked into their company for the better of the customer.
Yeah, you can't skip this part. You can't jump right into automation or AI implementation if you don't have a process to begin with, because otherwise you're going to automate things that you don't need to be doing anyways.
Right.
And they learned that lesson, you know, Industrial Revolution type stuff where Rockefeller's walk on the floor and he's like, well, we don't need to be doing this at all. Don't automate it.
Right.
Don't make it easier. Stop doing it.
And again, there's a difference between process and procedure. So your process might tell you, oh, we need to follow up within 24 hours on X or whatever it is. The procedure of how to do that might change, and that's where you start getting into like maybe we'll integrate some AI or some technology into it. And I think more often than not, that should just affect the procedure that you go through to do it, the checklist, the actual implementation. The process generally might still stay the same because it's more of a high-level guide.
Yeah, and how does EOS, you know, kind of keep things simplified? Because even just hearing this, you could go nuts. I mean, you could overly complicate things. How do you prevent that from happening?
Yeah, so again, EOS says to start very simple. Start with your first, you know, 3 to 5 most important processes. Document them at a very high level. Don't feel like you got to get deep in the weeds right away. What you end up building is a document essentially called, you know, for example, the OnSharp way. This is our way of doing business. These are our core processes. And really start there. And again, it might only be a 2, 3, 4 page document when you start, but then over time you just evolve it. And then I think the beauty and I think the hardest part is how do you make process not just be a it's kind of like when people talk about a marketing plan. Okay, I built this 80-page marketing plan
right.
that sits on the shelf.
Yep.
How do you make process not just be another thing that sits on the shelf? So you have to figure out what systems and what tools and components do we need to actually make it so that we follow the process and we have documentation that people are following the process. And that's where software tools can help you do that.
Yeah, and how do you get buy-in? You know, as a business leader, how do you make this more than just a piece of paper or something that a rubric that they're going to get checked against? How do you get buy-in to where people see the value of it?
I think it should be easy to get buy-in because everyone should be able to see like, oh, wow, this makes my life easier. This makes everyone's life easier. We're less chaotic. We're efficient. The customer seems happy. So, I mean, as long as your team thrives on those things, which they should, you know, as long
right
as
people, right people, right seat.
Right people, right seat. And they're not just worried about, you know, making their own life easier and that's all they care about. I don't think buy-in's very difficult. Again, as long as you've got the best interest of the company and the customer as the driving factor behind process.
Yeah, and this is not this is a living document. It can get changed. What are some mm-hmm. signs that you need to probably update this, revisit your process?
Yeah, the biggest ones for me are typically when we have an unhappy customer, I really like to dig in and figure out, okay, what broke down? Did someone just not follow the process, so it's a people problem? Do we maybe have the wrong process? We need to add something to it or change something in the process or procedure. You know, otherwise, if things are consistent, again, we talk about how it's so important that every time you do something, it's done the same way every time. Well, if you feel like it's not happening that way, then maybe something is too undefined in the process and you need to add some pieces to it. So, and then if just you notice obvious things get missed, you know, maybe there's, you know, something that totally just got skipped, you know, or yeah. something that you learn like let's just say you hire people and you never do background checks. And now you're like, okay, we hired someone. There was a problem. Now we're going to decide, okay, let's add to the
right.
process. We always do background checks. You know, it's
exactly.
an example.
But you can't identify those things. You can't improve if you don't have a process in place to check against and go. So you see how all these build together. So when mm-hmm. you document, you follow your processes, you can create that consistency that allows you to scale your business. So when we come back, we're going to be talking about the final component of EOS, and that is the traction component. Welcome back to the Business Blueprint. We're finishing up our conversation about EOS, the Entrepreneurial Operating System. It's just a system that you can use to better run your business. And we're looking at the traction component. It focuses on executing on basically all the other components we've talked about and making your vision a reality. So can you give us a little bit broader definition? What do they mean by traction in EOS terms?
Sure. So, you know, when you work on your VTO and your vision, that's all kind of like, where are we going? What do we exist for? It's all very strategic. But at the end of the day, you've got to execute. So at the end of the day, you and the team have to have pieces in place to be able to like create some momentum and get things going in the business. So the final traction piece kind of ties it all together and gives you kind of three main pieces to be able to do that. So we talk about rocks, which are like 90-day projects / to-dos of like things that need to get done to contribute and get you towards your one-year plan, your three-year picture, your 10-year plan. Number two is, again, your scorecard. So what are the numbers that you can't hide from that you're monitoring that are getting you, again, where you're trying to go this year, in the next 3 years, and so on. And then lastly, what we call meeting pulse. So there's a term called level 10. And the reason why it's called that is our objective is that everyone rates it a 10 from a quality perspective. So there's a level 10 meeting. There's a meeting pulse format, a weekly meeting format that gives you a very specific structure as to how to run your meetings, how to make sure you integrate scorecard into those meetings, to-do list, issue solving. It just gives you a really nice framework for how to conduct your meetings so that you can have fruitful weekly momentum and, again, build traction and build progress and get you to where you're trying to go.
And why do so many companies lack this? Why is this a felt need? Why is EOS a good solution to this problem? Why is this missing a lot of the times?
I think a lot of businesses, again, just kind of run off the seat of their pants and they maybe just respond to what's hitting them in the face at the current moment. And so then they're not really working towards their actual vision. I mean, you do have to deal with issues when they come up. But again, it's just there's beauty in the structure. And it really does encompass all the, what's been amazing is we've been running EOS for like 15 years, and it really does encapsulate every single thing that the business needs. I mean, I know this from experience. It covers everything from vision and where we're trying to go to how do we make sure we have the right people, how do we handle when problems come up, and then just do it in a structured way. Again, without the structure of EOS, we would all be just kind of throwing stuff out there willy-nilly. We'd be going into these meetings. Again, I think a lot of businesses have really poor meeting structure. They don't start on time. They don't end on time. They don't have a format. Yeah. So like whoever walks in and just starts talking and bringing something up, all of a sudden you're 30 minutes into the meeting and that's no one even dreamed about talking about that today.
And no one's so in like, charge to like
yeah,
keep
no one's
it
in
moving.
Charge. Yeah, so the level 10 meeting pulse is, I think, one of the most amazing pieces of EOS because we literally, it's timed. It's like, it's pretty sacred. We're going to start on time.
Yeah.
We're going to end on time. There's no missing a meeting. Vacation and death are the only two reasons that you're allowed to miss a level 10 meeting. So it's like everyone takes them seriously. People aren't just bringing up issues randomly and sidelining the conversation. It's just awesome how you can, and what I like is I could go sit in any level 10 meeting in any part of the organization, and we all speak the same language. We all understand the format of the meeting, the do's and the don'ts. It creates amazing synergy from top to bottom in the company.
Yeah, and I hate meetings. But of all the meetings I've been in, the level 10 meetings are much better because, again, they're defined. There's objectives. There's close time limits in these segments. The right people are there. They're prepared ahead of time because we know what we're going to be talking about. Like, you can't make a meeting better than this. You know?
Okay, and let's give an honest example. So when you first started working at OnSharp, and I love to be involved in marketing, so you and I would have meetings, right, weekly meetings. They had zero structure. You and I would sit down, and we would just start talking about whatever was at the top of our minds, and we would be an hour in, and we would make progress, but we wouldn't keep track of our to-dos very well. We would probably come back to the next meeting regurgitating something we talked about last week. It was just kind of like...
just spitballing.
Spitballed chaos.
Yeah.
And then finally I was like, you know, this is kind of dumb. We should be following the same level 10 meeting structure as every other meeting in the company. And then once we started doing that, it just brought a lot of clarity in organization. And then you think when we're leading, just think if you're leading a meeting and you have no structure and you're bringing other people into that meeting, you're bringing all these other people into the chaos and they're sitting there thinking like, why am I even here?
Right.
This is such a waste of time. And that can be a very morale breaking thing.
It does prevent people from sitting there like, I don't know why I'm in this meeting because it's very clear from the structure whether or not they need to be in there.
Right.
Yeah. No, that's really helpful. One of those things that does happen, you already mentioned it once, but the rocks component is a really big part of these meetings. We've talked about scorecard before. That's pretty self-explanatory. What's a rock and why does it matter so much?
Yep. So again, rocks are 90-day priorities. So just to give a tangible example, so we have a leadership meeting every quarter and we redefine the rocks for the company at the company level. So we look at our 1-year plan and we say, okay, how are we doing? And we figure out, okay, what are the things we need to accomplish over the next 90 days to continue to get us towards achieving the 1-year plan. And so at a leadership level, we define anywhere from 3 to 7 major rocks that the company is trying to get done that quarter. And then we present them to the entire company at our company-wide meeting. So everyone has transparency and visibility into this is what we're doing. Every rock has an owner. You cannot have two owners of a rock. It's one of the worst things you can do is when two people or more are in charge, nobody's in charge or nobody's accountable. So a rock has an owner. It doesn't mean that you have to do all the work, but you're in charge of creating the rock plan, making sure the rock gets done. very, very important pieces to the business. And then what happens from there is all the other departments play off of the company rock. So then the marketing department, the sales department, the ops team, accounting, finance, everyone else then looks at what the company's rocks are and they say, what can we do to help support the objective of the company and what it's trying to achieve? So it doesn't mean that every, you know, departmental rock has to be perfectly delineated from a company-wide rock, but it's pretty common that a department will choose some rocks because they're doing something to help support the bigger rocks that the business is trying to go after.
Excellent. Well, you can see how all these components tie together. We got vision setting the direction. We've got people executing the data measure was what's going on in the business. You've got the issues and the process that can refine things. And traction ties it all together and makes it happen. That wraps up our look at the Entrepreneurial Operating System. If you want to see more resources, you can visit businessblueprintshow.com. And you can also submit your business questions for us to tackle on an upcoming episode. So thank you for joining us for the Business Blueprint, and have a great week.